I know many of you out there have not had the best birth history. Many of you are listening to this with trauma in your background that you might not really know how to move forward from. So today I'm excited to bring you an interview with a mom just like you who has had that traumatic birth in her past, but she processed it, moved forward, and then went on to have a beautiful, peaceful, God-led home birth. And I want to share her story with you today. So let's go. Are you a Christian woman yearning for a beautiful, joyful pregnancy and birth with a focus on God, not medical tests? Are you worried the birth you want isn't possible and you're tired of being treated like an accident waiting to happen? Hey mama, I'm Lori, host of Your Birth, God's Way. I'm a certified nurse midwife now, but I wasn't always. After working for nearly 20 years in the broken maternity system, I too was in your shoes wondering how I could have the birth I wanted and that I felt God meant for me to have. I found a secret that has actually been known since the beginning of time. God's way is the best way. Spoiler alert, God made us and our babies, and He knows us best. He designed us perfectly for pregnancy, birth, and nourishing our babies after birth, if we work with His design and not against it. In this podcast, you'll learn how to be healthy and have joy during this time of life that will be over before you know it. So if you're ready to reclaim your birth and your babies for His glory, go turn on a few episodes of Bluey for that little one on your hip so you can put the focus back on you for a few minutes with me. Before we dive into the interview, I real quick want to share with you review time, as I always do to start off my podcast, because I need you to understand how important these reviews are to me, how much they encourage me, and how much they help me to find other moms just like you who need what I'm sharing here in this podcast, who need encouragement just like you do. So it's always a priority for me to read a review to you just so you can see how important it is to me. So today I'm bringing you a review from Christy. She is a member of our Facebook group. If you're not already in that group, head down to the show notes, find the link, and head over and join us. We'd love to have you join us there. She says the title is The Best Reassurance. Since this is my first pregnancy, so many emotions and thoughts flooded me. But the most important thing that my husband and I agreed on was doing things God's way, and that means as natural as possible without any medical interference. This podcast is a true godsend. Lori applies faith and backs it up with stats. I look forward to listening every day as it makes me feel much more confident in my pregnancy journey and helps to know I'm following God's will. I am so grateful for Lori's podcast and will also partake in her available courses. I only want to listen to faith-based practices and not what the system has to say. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone who also wants to honor God in your pregnancy journey. Christy, thank you so, so much for taking the time to share that review with me. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for all the moms out there like you who have taken the time to encourage me and who trust me as a part of their birth journey, because this is such an integral part of your life. It's a transitional part of your life where you become a mother. It is so much more than just giving birth. And so I'm honored to be a part of your journey. And I look forward to working with you in the course soon as you work through this pregnancy, which is so, so exciting. First baby is just, it's such a fun time, and I want you to have that joy. I want you to be able to grasp it and hang on to it and not let this messed up medical world destroy it for you. God has given us peace. He has given us hope. He has given us a perfect design that will bring your baby in His perfect time, and I'm just so excited to work with you on that. And I'm so excited to work with all moms who decide to join the course, because one of the best parts of the course is that you get to meet once a month with me live to answer all your questions. So it's just like a live in-person childbirth education course, only you're doing the content on your own time, but then anything that arises, any questions you have, anything you're not sure about, you get to bring it to our live question and answer session where you get to talk to a real life midwife who has no agenda, has no insurance company to keep happy, no practice to keep happy, no hospital to keep happy, a real Christian midwife who is going to give you the honest, straight up, true answers that you need so that you can make the best choices for your pregnancy. Does it even get any better than that? I don't know if it does. Anyway, let's move on. So today I'm bringing you an interview that I did with Allie McLean, who is the host of the Peaceful Home Birth podcast. Allie is a registered nurse, but she has a birth story much like many of yours. See, she trusted the medical system. She trusted that it was in it for her good because she knew that as a registered nurse, she was in it for the good of her patients. So she just couldn't imagine that the system would really be set up against her. As a result, she experienced a birth that went absolutely contrary to anything she ever planned, and it caused her a lot of trauma and a lot of difficulty moving forward. But that's not the end of the story. She has gone through a process of recovering, of moving through the traumatic birth experience that she had, and she now shares that story along with the story of many others like her in her podcast, which is called Peaceful Home Birth. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. I think you're going to learn a lot, and I hope that it blesses you as you might have the traumatic birth in your past that you need to move forward from. Or maybe if this is your first baby, maybe you're thinking, this episode's not really for me. I don't have a traumatic birth in my past. This episode is for you too, because you need to understand and appreciate the reality that there are so many mamas out there just like Allie. This is not a rare event. This happens all the time. And the reason this podcast of mine exists is to try to help you prepare so that you don't end up in one of those traumatic births. So whether you have babies, whether you've had great birth stories, whether you have no birth stories, no babies, whether you have a traumatic birth story in your past, this episode is for you, and there is plenty in it that you are going to learn from. So before we get started, I just want to read you a little bit about Allie so you can know more about who you're going to be hearing from. Allie McLean is a dedicated advocate for empowering first-time home birth mothers to embrace the beauty and serenity of home birth in a Christ-centered way. As the host of the Peaceful Home Birth podcast, registered nurse and home birth coach Allie combines her passion for holistic health, mindset techniques, and practical wisdom to guide expectant mothers through every step of their journey to a peaceful and empowering birth experience. After having a traumatic birth with her first, Allie decided to choose a different experience for the next baby, and she has gone on to home birth her next three children, as well as help many women in person and online have the peaceful birth they desire. Allie brings a unique blend of expertise to her podcast, offering listeners a wealth of knowledge and inspiration as they prepare for one of life's most profound moments. Her gentle yet confident approach reassures mothers that they have the strength and support they need to navigate the birthing process with grace and confidence. So with that, let's dive in. Okay, guys, I'm so excited today to bring you an interview that I'm having with Allie McLean. Allie is the host of the Peaceful Home Birth podcast, and she also has a very faith-based approach to birth. And so we've been talking and kind of decided, hey, we should talk to each other. We have very similar views on how birth is. And I think we actually kind of came from a very similar background. So want to introduce you to Allie. Allie, welcome to the Your Birth God's Way podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. It is incredibly so much fun to meet somebody else who has very, very similar views and background and really has a heart and a mission that is going in the same direction. So I am so excited to be here and talk to you today.
Awesome. Well, Allie, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you have you're a registered nurse, so you have a nursing background. So kind of tell us where you came from as far as your medical background.
Yeah. So I guess I'll go way back to high school. I was always so fascinated with the body, and I just realized it was all connected and I wanted to help people. And so my mom had suggested you should be a nurse. And I guess I always stuck with it. I'm like, well, that's probably what, you know, I was meant for. So I went on to nursing school and I quickly realized I really didn't love it. I knew for sure I did not want to be in the hospital system going through labor and delivery and just witnessing the abuse that was happening there. I just did not like it. And so I decided that I was going to work in private practice, and I ended up going to working as a family practice nurse. And I really did love it until I got pregnant and the Lord started opening my eyes to many different health philosophies that the medical system did not follow. And so I guess that's my background as a nurse. And the Lord has just brought me a long ways that it's even sometimes I'm like identifying as a nurse is so weird, but it did give me a lot of knowledge about how the body works, and it's really a helpful tool that I have had to help my family. But yeah, that's kind of my background on that nursing side.
That sounds so much like me. When you say you're a nurse, it just feels so weird because I think what the world thinks that means and what I am now are so very, very different. Now, I don't know that what the world thinks that means is really what it is. It's really just a pill pusher, but we won't get into that. All right. So, your view of birth before the, I don't know, I guess this is a spoiler alert, the traumatic experience that you had, because, for those listening who haven't heard from Allie before, her view, kind of like mine, has changed very much because she was kind of over on med in medical world, kind of thinking a certain thing. And then through her experiences, although hers was a firsthand personal experience that kind of changed her view, mine was just all of my viewpoints changed before I started giving birth. So it's a little bit of a different timeline, but I'd like for you to just kind of tell us how you kind of saw it before, what you thought about birth. Did you think anything about birth before you actually had your baby and had the experience that wasn't so great?
So, as nurses, there are specialties, right? So I was family practice and I was really good at giving vaccinations and helping with sutures and, those minor procedures. Like that was my wheelhouse. I loved doing that. And I would look at NICU nurses or LND nurses and be like, well, they are really good at what they do. So I should just totally abdicate all of my responsibility and my decision making on them because they care. Like, I cared so much about my patients, I wanted to do what was best. They care about me, so I'm going to let them make the decisions. They'll know exactly what to do and how to do it. And I was just okay with that. I trusted in that system so much, and I didn't know any better. Like, there was nobody in my life around me to say, have you asked these questions? Or what do you actually want from your birth? There was none of that. So I had no framework of how to even think about birth. I knew from what I had seen, during nursing school, being on LND, I knew that there was problems that arise during pregnancy and that there were things that the hospitals could do to help. I knew the practical, like how things worked. If I chose to get an epidural, I'd have to get a catheter. And like those things, it was okay. Like I knew that that was going to be some decision that the nurse would make depending on how my labor was going. So yeah, fast forward through my traumatic delivery, I had totally lost all trust in the system, and I was extremely hurt by that. The Lord brought me through a lot of forgiveness, for my doctor and for the nurses and for my husband and for myself. There was a lot that I had to work through, and we'll talk more about that, later, but that it did open my eyes to. I had a birth plan. I was too scared to give it to the nurse because the nurse had that I had followed back in nursing school had taken one from a client, from a patient, and said, kind of threw it in the nursery after she wasn't looking. It was like, oh, nobody looks at those anyways. And so while I did all the right things, my brain had an underlying belief that said it's not worth it. Like it doesn't matter what you want. Birth is unpredictable. And you're just gonna follow whatever you need to follow, and it's just gonna happen the way it's going to happen. And to surrender to the process, you know? And so that experience really opened my eyes to how birth worked in the system. And after that, I knew I never wanted to birth like that ever, ever again. And so I was going to make some radical decisions and some radical changes in my life in order to have a different outcome the next time. So even as a doula, I went on to be a doula, and my beliefs have changed even from being a doula in the hospital system to where I am now. I definitely wanted to help women avoid that by being in the system and advocating for them, standing up for them. Like, I'll be your voice and your rock, and I'll just tell you all the right things to do. And I realized after I had my first home birth that that wasn't helping anybody. And so I stepped away completely from supporting in the hospital system, and I went completely to home birth. And man, the Lord just is so good and gentle, and He never forces things on you. And He just was so patient with me. And it's been such a beautiful journey to see how many women are fully stepping into the authority that the Lord has given them in this area and birthing in peace. And it's amazing. So I know there was a lot there, but
No, that's fine. Yeah, I think that's a common thing though, and that was kind of what led me to start this podcast and start what I'm doing is because I just felt like there was always this massive divide, and like Christian women were, they kind of knew someone right, but they didn't know. We've been taught also to submit to authority and to trust authority, and so you just think that's just the way you do it, and it took me thinking, wait a minute, what? This stuff hasn't been around forever. This isn't the only way for me to kind of be like, huh, and it was actually my doula training when I was transitioning from being a nurse out of the system again, because I was so disenchanted and and I became a doula. And in the doula training was when my eyes were like the wool was completely taken off of my eyes because I was like, whoa, what have I done? I felt like I had been an accomplice to a crime. And that changed everything. So tell us a little bit about your traumatic birth. Like what happened in your birth, to where on that back end you're going never again.
Well, first of all, now that I look back, I can see exactly what I had done to lead to the outcome that I had. And it started with I didn't really know or make a solid decision about what I wanted my birth to be like. I just submitted myself to a system, hoping for the best. There, I did have a heart's desire to have as natural birth as possible. So I wasn't saying an epidural was never possible, but I wanted to see how long I could go. And it's the typical first-time mom, like, I would love to have a natural birth, but we'll just go with the flow. And so my water broke actually on Good Friday at church after service was done. And so when you call your provider and you have broken water, they want you to come in right away. I was 38 and a half weeks, I believe, and I had just gotten a cervical check not long before, maybe the day before or two days before. And I ended up going straight to the hospital. I was not really having any contractions. And it was obviously a couple days before Easter. My labor was not progressing very quickly at all. So about 8 hours in, the nurse comes in and says, "I have a bag of oxytocin here. It is your body's natural hormone that will just help your contractions go a little bit stronger and faster since we're not seeing the cervical change that we would like to see." And I was like, "Well, natural hormone, of course. Why not? I would love this labor to go faster because right now it's not doing anything and I'm tired." It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning by that time, somewhere. So I was exhausted.
Right.
And as soon as she put that in, it was like they ramped up to a 10, and my body did not like it at all. And I was having very strong contractions back to back. She kept coming in and increasing the dosage, and she made it to the max dose, which was 20. And as soon as she did, my baby's heart decelled into the 20s. And so by that point, I had resigned to getting an epidural after the Pitocin, and I did not want to do it anymore. I was tired. So I had been sleeping and she had been turning it up. I woke up to beeping and to several nurses around me, and they were giving me a shot of tributaline in my leg, and it was all chaotic. And it was an out-of-body experience. I did not know what was going on. I remember turning around, seeing the heart monitor, and seeing that her heart rate was 20. And of course, being a nurse, you're like, okay, you're going through all of the possibilities in your head of like, what's going on? So my doctor comes in, they had stabilized the baby, and she says, well, if this happens again, we are going to take you back for a C-section. And I was like, no, like that's not what I wanted. And I remember turning to my nurse and saying, no, I don't want a C-section. I don't want this. And she's like, it's okay. It's okay. You know, trying to talk me down. I was getting so escalated at this point. Well, 5 minutes later, her heart rate dips again and they just start wheeling me back. And I remember it was all so dramatic now looking back at it, but I was like screaming and crying, like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And of course, I want my baby to be okay. But it was like that primal fear hormone was just so high. And I couldn't run away because I had an epidural. So I was so trapped. And my husband disappears for a little bit, you know, getting all his scrubs on. I go into the ER and or the ER, the OR, and the anesthesiologist is the only one I see there for a little bit, and they strap down my arms, and I'm in this cold room. Nobody's talking to me. The anesthesiologist is like, okay, I'm gonna give you some medicine, like medication. You're not gonna feel a thing. Let us know if there's a prick. And basically, she was out in a few minutes, and it was very, very quick. She was taken away to a warmer. At that time, my husband was there beside me. And yeah, they had put her in the warmer. I guess she had low blood sugar and was cold, so I didn't get a hold of her for about 2 hours. And it was awful. It was awful. It was definitely an out-of-body experience. At that point, in the OR, I just kind of remember dissociating. I'd heard a baby cry, and they're like, it's a girl. And my whole pregnancy, I thought I was having a boy. I'd convinced myself it was a boy. So I was like, this is not my baby. Like, there's no way that's my baby. So the first couple of weeks of being a mom to this baby that I wasn't even convinced was mine was extremely difficult. The breastfeeding was hard. I didn't tell her I loved her for 2 weeks because how can you tell a stranger's baby you love them? Like, I had come up with so many stories in my head, like that didn't happen to me.
Wow.
So it was, yeah, it was definitely traumatic to say the least. And it's not like that for everybody. I understand that that is not, it does not happen to everybody, but I experienced a big reaction, and yeah, but it changed my life and in the best way. And I'm very thankful that the Lord uses all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I just believe that he has a heart for women and he loves birth, and he was able to use my story to help other women birth at home. And so, yeah, so there are redeeming aspects of that.
You know, you said it doesn't happen to everybody. And I'm assuming you're talking about the part of how you reacted, and that is
Yeah.
true. But the story leading up happens to so many, and I have seen it all. I don't even, of course, there's no way to go back and know how many births I've been a part of because I was, I was a nurse. You didn't keep up then. You only keep up once you're, actually catching babies. And so I mean, probably hundreds, maybe thousands. And So a good number of those, the story went exactly like yours. And just for clarification, for anybody who doesn't know, so she goes in, she gets oxytocin, which is really pitocin. It's not the real thing, but that makes the contractions happen. But then the shot of TURB is called terbutaline. And so that's them having to undo that which they just did. And so the whole thing is being done to her in a way that is completely like they overdo one thing and then they have to try to overdo it the other direction. Because if TURB actually works, then your contractions completely go away. Then you have to start trying to make them happen again. And it's just this crash course isn't the right word, but just this complete like disconnect of like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this to people? And at no point do they say she's in the OR right now because of what we did to her. And so, you know, it's all being done to her. And like she said, she wants to run away and she can't because now she's hostage because she's paralyzed from the waist down. And the feeling of nobody talking to her and like she's just a number. I think that was that last week or week before that I talked about that you just become a number. And that's really what it is. And the last thing I'll say before I ask about the transformation, you know, you said they took the baby to the warmer for a and she had a low blood sugar and she was cold. And their solution is let's go to the warmer, probably put things in her mouth that then lean to the breastfeeding difficulties that you have, rather and stick a little sticker on her that's connected to a machine that tells the machine how hot to get to warm her up. Or you could just put her on mom because mom's body does all that better than any machine ever did. And she can nurse and get some milk for that blood sugar and she can stay warm. And yet the system in all its wisdom thinks, no, we can do that better. And in the meantime, that probably contributed to your disconnect because there was such a gap in time before you were connecting with your baby because of what, quote, they thought was best. And it's so frustrating to hear it happen over and over and over and over again. And they don't ever connect the dots and realize that they were the catalyst for all these problems. Of course, they never think about it again. You know, you leave, you go home. It's your problem, not theirs. Live baby in a bassinet, right? That's all that matters.
I didn't think about it until a couple of weeks later when I asked my provider, why did that happen? And she had to step out of the room and look at my chart. This had happened 2 weeks prior, and it was eye-opening to me. She did not know who I was. Like, she didn't remember why she
Never
had
even
cut
heard.
me open. And so she looked at my chart, came back, and said, well, your pelvis is too small. Mind you, I had only dilated to 4.
It
Baby
had
was
nothing to do with your pelvis at that point.
no. And so I was told she had said, for all the rest of your babies, you will need a repeat C-section. And I believed her at that moment and I was distraught. I said, I remember sobbing on the way home. And it was like this conscious decision of this, no, I'm not going to believe this. This is wrong. I feel it so deeply in my core. This is wrong. And I remember looking into or listening to other women's stories, and it was like the same thing. Like you were saying, so many women go through this exact same thing. And so, once I learned about the cascade of interventions, it was like a light bulb went off, and I was like, oh, that's why I'm not crazy, and this is wrong.
You know, it's funny that you know, we've already talked about, you know, just for everybody listening, I'll be on Allie's podcast as well, so you're welcome to go listen to that one. And one of the things that we're going to talk about in that conversation is some of the things that are wrong with the hospital. And it's funny because in my notes right here, it's about how it doesn't matter what happens, it's your fault. It was all on you. Your pelvis is too small. The baby wasn't even in your pelvis yet. It had nothing to do with your pelvis, but we've got to find some reason that you are a failure. You're not good enough. There's something wrong with your body. Had nothing to do with this system that completely broke you. Has nothing to do with that. It's all on you. And that is so infuriating because so many moms are walking around, you know, all the postpartum depression we deal with, all the anxiety leading into parenthood. It's all based on this thing of like, you really don't know what you're doing. You really are the problem. And so much of it comes from the birth experience. And it's the most natural, normal thing that has been taken from women and twisted in a way that now makes them feel less, instead of feeling empowered that, whoa, I just gave birth. You know, that's completely taken away. And I mean, it's no wonder that we have so many issues in postpartum and in the years following, where it strikes me always in our Facebook group how many people are asking questions about their newborn, and it's just laden with anxiety and laden, like they don't know how to trust themselves because they've been taught not to trust themselves. They've been taught that they're the problem. There's something wrong with them. And I hate it. I hate it.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad that I hate that you went through that, but I'm glad that you have come through on the other side to share with women in a very similar way that to where I do, to like, mamas, you are made for this. You know what you're doing. Quit listening to these people who don't know you and don't even remember you 2 weeks later when they altered your entire path of your life in a 20-minute window and they don't even remember you.
My name is Crystal Maddox, and I had the privilege of participating in Your Birth, God's Way live online childbirth education course. I only learned about Lori and her podcast about 2 weeks prior to the launch of this course. I'd listened to several episodes and knew I wanted to learn more, so signing up for this course was a no-brainer for me. If you're like me, I didn't know anything about birthing options and what I wanted my quote-unquote birth plan to look like. I didn't even know that was a thing. As a Christian, however, I did know I wanted to glorify God in how I approach my pregnancy and the forming of the precious soul in my womb. Lori has a ton of knowledge that you'll want to play the videos over and over again to get it all in as she goes through all four trimesters, which includes postpartum and decisions needed to be made for your little one when they arrive. It's a no-judgment class with Lori's opinions, but she wants you to follow your heart, trust Christ, and make the best decisions for you and your baby. This Christ-centered class serves as an amazing resource to help you make those decisions. Personally, I was initially going to have a hospital birth, just following what most folks do in our culture without considering what would be best for me. After learning more about birthing options, I realized I wanted something different for me based on my personality. Lori gave me the confidence to follow my heart, and though I was already 35 weeks, I made the decision to leave my OB and find a birth center. I had a beautiful water birth, and I was able to experience it with a positive attitude based on the information that I learned during this course. Thus, I would highly recommend this course, and I have no doubt it'll bless you as it did me.
No.
Stop trusting them. Trust God and trust yourself. Okay, I'm getting off my soapbox. I'll let you talk now.
Yeah, no,
I get so mad about it.
So do I. And it's like that righteous anger of like, there is an injustice in this world and it needs to end. And I think you nailed it on the head when you said that they believe that technology can do what a mom was made to do best when it comes to, you know, a baby regulating after it's born. Like, there is no better place for a baby to be than on a mom. But isn't that
true?
God
made it.
Exactly.
As God designed it.
Yeah. And the enemy has taken it and twisted it and lied to us by saying that we know better than God's design. Did God really say, like, you have to give birth this way? Well, we can do it better. Like, there's a better way. It is such a lie of the enemy. And once women start waking up to the fact that this is God's original design and going back to that, there's going to be so much freedom, so much joy, so much peace, so much health. I think we're trusting the medical system to help us birth, and then women are trusting their pediatricians instead of listening to their own intuition and asking the Lord first. And I mean, that's a whole other topic and podcast episode, but I think you had said it is like, it starts with birth. If we are not asking the Lord for direction first, and then really tuning into the God-given intuition that he gave us, we are going to be missing out and probably walking on different paths that he doesn't want us going down. And there's consequences to every decision we make. And I witnessed that, like, with my first birth. Every decision that I made had a consequence, whether good or bad. And so, I mean, I'm so passionate about just being so honest with women. Like, your decisions do matter. And they're most of the time in birth, I'm sure you know as well, is like, we can see if you make this decision, this is a very likely outcome. And if you don't get that outcome, you're lucky, right? When it comes to the cascade of interventions,
It
anyways.
makes me sad when people want to think that they're going to be the exception. Like oh, that's not going to happen to me. Like I know my way around it, and not realizing that it's already set before you ever walked in the door. The protocol is already there. And if you do try to do it different, you're going to meet so much resistance that you're impacting your birth anyway, because of what it's doing to your mind to be at odds with the people that you're trusting. It's just, and the I think the more that mamas listen to shows like what we do, the more they're getting it. Like, okay, no, there really is a thing here. Like there really is something that I need to be prepared for. I can't just blindly trust the system because it's not in it for my good. And it's hard to say that, because you want to believe that these big buildings down the road that you go to, if you chop your leg off or something and need it sewed back on, that they're going to take care of you. And they do for those kind of things very frequently. But see, birth isn't a problem. And therein lies the problem, that birth isn't a problem. Birth doesn't need anything done for it. And they think that it does. So, why don't you take us now through after your birth experience and the time following that? How did you process that trauma? How did you get through the feelings that you were having about your baby, to where you could kind of see through to the other side, to keep breathing, keep putting one foot in front of the other, get through it, and then also put it behind you, like them telling you that all you're going to have is C-sections and that that's all you'll ever know, and to see a better way to where you end up having your dream birth.
Well, that again, is a process. And I wish I could say that it happened in a matter of weeks or months. But the reality is, the birth really did affect me through my first year. So I had extreme postpartum depression, and I just was not in the right headspace at all to even start processing the birth. There would be things that were said, like, oh, well, thank God that the doctors were there to save your baby. And I just remember feeling twinges of that doesn't feel right. That doesn't seem right. And that just kept repeating in my head over and over again. Something is off. And it was probably, I went through counseling, and it was helpful to kind of reframe some things that had happened during the birth. And just talk about it, I guess, process it that way. But it wasn't until I started coming out of the fog about a year in, that we had thought, maybe we could start trying for another baby. And I was terrified, obviously. If you have to go through that again, I didn't know if I wanted to get pregnant again. And so my desire to have a baby was deeper than my fear of another birth. And so I knew that I had to work through it. And I had decided that I would not go back to the hospital. I couldn't go back to the same place that had traumatized me the first time. I just knew that that reaction was very big. And I didn't feel like if I was put in that place, I would feel safe enough to give birth. I had a friend who had had a home birth, and it's kind of crazy. In my state, actually, home birth itself is not illegal, but having a certified nurse midwife is actually a felony, for
What
her
state is
to
that?
attend Nebraska.
Nebraska. Okay.
So not a lot of people home birth here because the belief is that home birth is illegal, but looking into the law, home birth itself is not. So I was like, okay, let's go for it. And I got in contact with a woman who would attend. Talking to her was so incredibly helpful because I had already kind of made that decision of, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. But I needed that processing of like, this is what happened to you, and this doesn't mean it's going to happen again. Like, your pelvis is not too small. Hearing truth from somebody else was so important. Like, speaking life into me was so helpful. And actually, at that time, around when we had started deciding, like, okay, we'll have another baby. It's going to be a home birth. I started looking into online business, and this is so funny how the Lord works. But I had found this podcast, this business podcast, talking about neuropsychology and how the brain and your belief system and how your brain was wired can affect outcomes. And I just started kind of putting things together and some tools that she would talk about on her podcast on how to figure out what your beliefs are and then rewire your brain for success. I was like, well, maybe if it works for business, it might work for birth. So I tried it. And for the next few months, I was very intentional about a daily habit of taking my thoughts captive, which the Bible talks about, believe it or not. The Bible knows that how our brains are made and how we can believe what is good, right, true, and pure and noble and all of those things, right? So my journey to healing really started with learning about how the brain works, learning how to take thoughts captive, not let fear make decisions for you, telling your brain what you want, giving it an end goal, giving it using your imagination, your God-given imagination to say, hey, this is what I want. So your brain, the way that our brain works, it's called a reticular activation system. So that part of your brain starts looking for all of the options out there that will match the outcome that you want. That's why dreaming is so important. So I started dreaming about what I wanted. And man, the Lord is so good. He gives us dreams. He gives us visions. He gives us what to think about. And he literally gave me a dream of how my birth would turn out. He gave me what my baby's gender was and her name in a dream, like in an actual dream after I'd been doing all this birth. And it was the most special, sweet, intimate time with the Lord. And it was incredibly healing as soon as she came out, to look at the Lord's goodness of like, wow, you do care. Dreaming is important. Working through forgiving my doctor, that was a big thing. You know, making sure that I was stewarding my thoughts well, making decisions that matched with the outcome I wanted. All of these things I was able to be intentional about and then see how the Lord uses it and his heart for women, his heart for babies, and his heart for birth. Like he cares about this process he created, believe it or not.
Right. I think sometimes we think like we're the first one, like he's, carried on humanity forever, but he's forgotten me. Like, no, he hasn't. And just the same way, you did nothing to make that baby the whole way other than just keep yourself putting food in your mouth. That's really all you did. And yet this human being, this person that has a soul has been went from two partial cells to fingernails and eyeballs and feet and bones and heart and all these things. And you think about that, and yet we think that he's forgotten us and that we have to like do this alone. No, he is there, whether we acknowledge him or not, he is there. And I can't remember the exact verse. I believe it's in Psalms where it says, "The voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth." A deer. Why is it that we believe that somehow he cares more for animals that don't have souls? They're not humans. They're not created in his image. So if he cares enough to bring a deer baby to the earth, surely he cares enough for his children. So I think it's again, I think it's what the system has done to cause us, without knowing it, to cause them to become a god. Little G God, to where we look to them for the answers, we look to them for the solutions, because surely it's good, right? The technology, it's good. Surely it's good. Surely I can trust them, like you said earlier. Surely I can trust them, and I don't want to say that all the people that are there are in it just out to get you, because I was one of those people. I wasn't out to get anybody. I thought I was doing what was best. It's just like you said, the devil has lied to us and lied to us and lied to us. To where, if you're in the system, you really do think you're helping. You really do think you're the solution. You said it didn't sit well with you when people said, "Thank God they saved your baby," or "Thank God they were there to help your baby." And It's a hard line to walk because I do believe that the technology can be used for good, can be in a very small percentage of people. But this automatic assumption that everything that happens is, thank God, God made this happen. You wouldn't have been there had those things not been done. There are a few situations that can just happen. But not going in and then dumping a bag of oxytocin or Pitocin in your vein and then dumping TURB in your leg and then dumping more oxytocin. And none of that was his design. None of that is helping you. It's breaking you. And the fact that you needed counseling, not knocking counseling, the fact that you needed it. The fact that something was done in a process that is as normal as the sun coming up in the morning and the sun going down at night. It's a normal thing that happens in life. Birth is a normal process that God put in place to continue the human race. And yet, you had to be counseled to deal with what was done to you. That is a travesty. Those things should not happen. You have to spend time and money processing something that could have been beautiful that now you know can be beautiful. And this concept of telling your brain what you want, and that's one I've really grappled with over my life, because it can get real like out there, and it is so true though. If for no other reason than when you tell yourself, this is what I want, this is my goal. If it's a, obviously we want to keep our goals within reason. We want to keep them God focused. But if this is my goal, I act different to get there. I make different decisions. I think different. Like you said, your brain starts looking for opportunities, options that will get me to that goal. And so, when people go into it, like I wrote down something you said earlier, the thought of that so many moms have of, I want to be natural as long as I can, or I want to wait on the epidural as long as possible. Well, then you've already got in your head, you're going to give in
Exactly.
rather than looking at it like, no, I can do this. I'm going to prepare myself to deal with something that is intense and hard, but beautiful and empowering. And so we already have decided because, and really it's just because of what you've heard everybody else go through. It's because of all of the things that you've heard, all the horror stories you've heard from everybody else. You are already doubting yourself before you even giving yourself a shot. And so you go into it thinking, oh, I'll do the best I can instead of saying, no, I can do this. And it's amazing how many moms who say, I can do.
Oh, exactly.
But if they go into it saying, I'm going to go as long as I can, then when 8 centimeters hits, and maybe they didn't even know they needed it yet, but they hear that number eight and you're like, uh-oh, birth's coming. I better go ahead and get it, and they give up doubting themselves. And they don't have to. But it's so much in between their ears. So much of birth is mental. Just, the fact that your body will change the way it labors based on just leaving your house and going in a bright hospital where you don't know anybody. That is a protection that God put in your brain to the same way that he did for animals that, if you walk up on them, they'll quit. Their labor will quit the same way. And he put all these things in there and yet we discount them. But that was his design.
Well, our brain was created to keep us safe, right? And so when we see a hospital, what is your association with it? It's
Scary.
illness, it's
Bad things
trauma,
happen
it's
there.
sickness. And so, of course, our brain is like, whoa, red alert, like, don't go there because that's danger. And then we're submitting ourselves and walking in, even though we're like, ooh, I'm scared. And then we're saying, oh, I'm just scared of labor, but there's things to help that. No, you're literally scared because your brain is saying, this is not a safe place. And
That's so
I,
true. So true. And we
yeah.
try to override it and think that it'll be okay. And I think so many people think that, like, oh, I can have a birth at the hospital. It can be natural. And what I say, I know lots of people have gone into hospitals and had babies without medication. That's not questionable. But what I do question is that a natural birth is possible. A truly natural birth, meaning your brain and your body processes were able to carry out what God designed it to do in the way that he designed them to do it, because inevitably something is different. it cannot, it can't carry on any more than if you brought a cat in here and spread it and told it here, push.
Exactly.
What? It doesn't even make sense. And so it's not, it's a place to go when you're sick or when you're hurt. It is not a place to go for birth. There's a very, very small percentage. And the more I learn and the more I read and the more I listen to people like Dr. Stu, the more I think that even, I've always said, well, there's a few people that it's safer to be there. And I don't want to say there's not, because there's certain maybe conditions that maybe you need to have people on standby. But I don't know for sure that that's where it needs to start. And I don't know for sure that it's all or nothing by saying, like, say you have hemophilia or something, and you're afraid you're going to bleed to death if you have a birth at home. But then you walk in, and so then they just throw everything at you. It's like the whole kitchen sink, everything. You're getting it all. Why? Because then that completely alters everything, and it's not your brain can't do what it knows to do. It's fighting on every cylinder, like, no, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. And yet you're subject to it because you're there.
And our mind does impact our physical bodies. So when you subconsciously are believing you're unsafe, your hormones are going to change. Your cortisol is going to spike, your adrenaline is going to spike, and that is going to cause problems with your immune system, your heart, like all of these things that when technology monitors it, they're like, oh, you're having tachycardia or like a super high heart rate. You probably have something wrong. And it's like, no, I'm, or high blood pressure. Oh my gosh. How many times are women getting their blood pressure monitored and they get diagnosed with preeclampsia when really they're just stressed out?
Or the baby's heart rate drops to 20, and we think, oh, baby's just not tolerating labor, really, because he was a minute ago, or she was a minute ago, and before you put that IV in my arm.
Exactly.
It's just there's so much to it, and we could talk all day. We could go on and on about it, but any kind of concluding thoughts, messages going forward that you'd like to share before we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, I would just like to encourage women, like the Lord is so intelligent in his design. And when we seek him first, all these things will be added to you, right? He is going to light your path and show you exactly what you need to do. But just trust him and ask him first before asking anybody else for advice. I mean, even Lori or I, like literally ask the Lord, what should I do? Where should I go? Who should I talk to? Dream about your birth. I think a lot of women are afraid to dream because they don't want to be disappointed. And I understand that fear, but we that is a fear that you can push past and you will benefit from pushing past. Dream about your birth. Invite the Lord in and
That's
get
so
good
true.
counsel.
And I think one of the coolest things that I've experienced from this platform that I have, and I'm sure you've had the same, is when people have prayed and then
Yes.
they pick up their phone and somebody's recommended a podcast. And all of a sudden they're getting all this information from people like us who are connecting the dots, not trying to pretend like these two worlds are separate. And I think that's such a cool thing. And it's very humbling to think about the fact that, wow, God is using me to answer prayers. God
Well,
is using me to inform mom so that they can have a better experience. Go ahead.
I love hearing. I mean, I talk about dreaming all the time and the importance of dreaming about your birth. And it is so cool how many women I've been able to have on my podcast share their story who have intentionally dreamed about their birth and invited the Lord into it, and how almost every single time it happens the way that they are. I mean, they're surrendering that to the Lord, but it is beautiful. The Lord wants to answer this. Like, this is his design. Why wouldn't he want to come in and give you good things? And we doubt. So it is amazing when you pray and when you surrender your dreams and desires and your path to the Lord, he's going to direct you into beautiful things. It is
So
so
true.
cool.
So true. And just giving up that control and letting him do, he doesn't need our help any more than he did all along. We just got to let him do, because he does give us free will to mess up whatever we want to. You know, we
I
have the
know. Look at my
ability,
birth.
right? And so, you know, but when you surrender to him, he doesn't want to hurt you. And he wants to bring that baby to you. And that's not to say that, you know, occasionally things do go wrong. We acknowledge that. We're not denying that. But so many times that's not the case. And so many times the things that do go wrong are as a result, like you said, consequences. But when we surrender to him and we just like you said, dream big and then don't just stop at dreaming, but set the wheel in motion to have the right things in place for that dream. And then surrender when labor time comes, stop trying to make labor come, first of all. Because
Yes, please.
if your baby isn't here yet, it ain't time yet. I can guarantee you, here's everybody's like, I'm looking for a sign. Your sign is if you're not in labor, your baby's not ready. That's your sign. And when your labor starts, there's your sign, and it's about that time. So stop making it, trying to make it happen. And but when it does, just let it. Just let it. And don't fight it and work with it, and it works. It's like everything else in your system. There's so many, you know, people who don't believe in God. I like to do like the fingernail thing. Like right here is one of the thickest, hardest, deadest, without any feeling parts of your body that you have to protect you, to scratch your itches, pick your nose if you need to, you know, all the things. But right next to it and underneath it is some of the most sensitive, you know, able to perceive little bitty differences right next to each other. That alone, just your fingertip, is an example of how much he loves you. He's given you everything you need right next to it, right next to each other. And that's just one thing, you know, if you go into the intricacies of an eyeball and all the things that have to happen perfectly for us to see, the intricacies of smelling, tasting, all of these things. He designed those and they almost always work. We're in a fallen world, so sometimes things go wrong, but almost always they work when we support them. And birth is the same way. And if we will just work with his design, he has made the baby's head to turn just right, make all these different rotations through the pelvis, and different markers in the pelvis cause that rotation to happen so that they can fit out but not fall out. You know, it's beautiful. And I'm just thankful that he did make it the way that he did. And I'm thankful that so many moms are realizing and waking up and pushing back on this system, because the system's not for us, but God is for us. And so I thank you so much, Allie, for your time today. I've loved this conversation. We could talk for hours, I'm sure. And you guys, if you want to check out more from Allie, I'll put a link down in the show notes. Her podcast is called Peaceful Home Birth. You can find it on any of your podcast apps, just like you found mine, if you want to hear more from her. And again, just thanks, Allie, so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
I hope this episode has encouraged you. I hope you learned so much. I hope it encourages you to know that no matter what has happened in your past with having babies, it does not have to dictate your future. You can change your path. If you want to hear more from Allie, head over to peacefulhomebirth.com or just go to your podcast app and type in Peaceful Home Birth. She also has a free home birth essentials checklist available for you, but the link's a little difficult, so I'm just going to put the link down in the show notes and you can go down there and click it and check it out at your leisure. And mamas, if you haven't already, I'm sure most of you have, be sure you are subscribed to me on your favorite podcast app, because there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming up soon, including I may be going to more than one episode a week. So while I know you know to look for me on Tuesdays, you might have another day to start looking for me soon. So just keep your notifications on so that when I drop in an extra episode, you don't miss it. All right. I'll see you right back here next week or maybe sooner. Real quick, if today's episode blessed you in any way, would you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a quick 5-star written review? It'll take you less than a minute, but it's the best thank you can give me. And it will help my show to reach more mamas just like you, so we can all find God's best for our families. I'll see you right back here in a few days.